Sort of catechism this week is number 47. What is forbidden in the first commandment? And the answer is, the first commandment forbiddeth the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God and our God and the giving of that worship and glory to any other, which is due to Him alone. So first of all, the first commandment forbiddeth the denying of the true God as God. This, of course, forbids atheism. Since we all can see in the creation, and God has made known to us, not only by the things that are made, but also in ourselves, in our own hearts, He has made Himself known to us. And Romans 1 says that the only way not to acknowledge Him as God is to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So even anyone who calls themselves agnostic, which is very stupid, literally, because it means someone who doesn't know, who lacks knowledge, who is unknowing, is suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Whenever you have the doubt rise in your heart about the true God, it comes from the flesh, it comes from the devil. It does not come from any lack of evidence or genuine desire to be sure. Wicked men flatter themselves that they are sincere seekers, and they call themselves agnostics. You may not be let off the hook so easily, because you have been taught from Scripture, and you know in your heart that God is, and you can see in the world that God is. So that settles the first part. The first commandment forbiddeth the denying. And there are those who recognize that there is a God, and every once in a while they make some sort of statement about what a creator he must be, or how powerful he must be. But they do not give him worship, even though they must sleep one third of their lives so that their lives are organized by a morning when they wake up from their sleep and an evening when they go to bed in their sleep. Yet they do not take these breaks from their own work for the worshiping of God, even though it is impossible that a man would work every single day and not have a break. The French government after the French Revolution tried to be superhumanistic and question and redo everything. So they tried to have a 10-day work week to be more productive, and they discovered they cannot do anything other than a 7-day week because we have been created that way. And so there is this pattern of working 6 days and resting one that is built into how we were created. And that one day of rest, of course, is for worship, because we were created by a creator. And so if we do not worship God in the morning when we rise, in the evening when we go to bed, and all day on the Lord's day, we violate the first commandment, because He has made us to know that He is God, that we are not accidents, that the world does not exist from itself, that the idea of pure materialism, the idea that material things are the only things that exist, that all of those things are lies, along with atheism and agnosticism. And therefore, we must not only acknowledge Him so that we are forbidden agnosticism or atheism, but also we are required to worship Him, to give our hearts to Him and offer Him that worship that He has defined. And we'll think about that more in the second commandment. But that worship that He has defined, morning and evening, and then all day on the Lord's day. So the first commandment forbiddeth the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God. And then, and our God. When He says, I'm the Lord thy God, He reminds us that He has taken to Himself a covenant people, that He is not only to us God the Creator, but we, having sinned and not deserving to call Him our God, but rightfully would call him our enemy, and even more so have him call us his enemies, he has indeed instead redeemed us and taken us to be his own people and bound himself to us and bound us to himself so that we would have our identity as belonging to him and we would know him not only for all the glorious characteristics, attributes that we can see in the creation and that we know from his word, but that we would know him as our God who has bound himself to us by covenant. And not only by covenant, but now Christ having come, revealing himself as the Son and sending his Spirit into our hearts so that we call God our Abba, our Father, that the relation that we have in covenant with him is not only the relation of servant or subject or citizen, but the relation of beloved child, adopted into the family, being conformed to the firstborn, bearing as we may in the flesh, to whatever extent we may in the flesh, the resemblance of our Heavenly Father and our elder brother, that we have been set apart not only in the everlasting family, the eternal and to us currently invisible family, but that also, because his way of gathering his family in this world is in his church and in congregations of his church, that we would be members of his church. Those who refuse church membership, those who withstand God, as we were thinking about from Acts 11, verse 17, and refuse baptism, in which God places his mark upon those whom he redeems. Those who do such break the first commandment, because the first commandment forbiddeth not only the denying or withholding that worship or glorifying, but also failing to acknowledge him as our God, our covenant God. So the first commandment forbiddeth the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God and our God, and the giving of that worship and glory to any other which is due to him alone. So that the only way to take a proper oath or vow is to summon God as witness, to summon the Lord as our witness. Those who use curse words to try to make their statements stronger use something foul and put it in the place of God where vows and oaths are acts of worship. Those who pray to others or trust in others, whether trusting in themselves and their ability or their supposed intelligence, or trusting in the government, as many do, or trusting in any other man, or trusting in any false deity that they get lured into by the lies of men and the lies of demons. I'm sure you've seen, even on the Kindle, books on the mythologies of different cultures and how they come to trust in one or another of these false gods that are really just demons posing as gods. Or as the papists pray to saints, when prayer is an act of worship, prayer presumes omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence, that they would be able to hear us and that they would be able to be wherever we need them to be to answer the prayer, that they would be able to do something about it. Only God can do any of those things. And therefore, only to God may you pray. And then there are those who take oaths of allegiance. Recently, some of us were among some hopefully well-meaning Christians who are pledging allegiance. And they added a phrase that wasn't originally in the pledge, under God. And yet the pledge as a whole commits the sort of allegiance, the sort of refusal to acknowledge any other that really only belongs to God. And so there are many acts of worship that we may do unto the Lord alone that many unthinkingly do unto other people or things or entities. And so this commandment helps us remember that God alone may be our strength upon which we depend. God alone may be our purpose to which we are devoted. God alone may be our desire in whom we are delighted. And that dependence and that devotion and that delight must not be extended to anything else. And if we do so, we thank God that we have Christ and his righteousness, who never had any other God before the Lord. And since it came up in the little kids' catechism class at the Lord on the Lord's Day, you should know that that word "before me" means something to the effect of "against my face." Not that we can have a list of gods so long as he is the first one. Don't have anyone before him. Have him first, and then you can have the rest after him. No, the word "before him" means we are always before his face. We belong to him. And if we depend upon or are devoted to or are delighted in anything else in an ultimate way other than him, anything besides him, where the dependence is not a dependence upon him to use them, where the devotion is not a devotion to him in whom we serve, where the delight is not an enjoyment of him and his good gifts. If we are devoted to, dependent upon, or devoted to, or delight in anything apart from him, then it is an affront right to his face. As if you had seen me right in front of your mom go and plant a big romantic kiss on another woman right in front of her face. But when you and I treat anything else as God or divine, God says that's right in front of his face, that we're always before him in that way. And that should encourage us always to depend upon him because we're before his face, and to be devoted to him because we're before his face, and to be delighted in him because we're before his face, and not to give any of those things to anything other than him. So what is forbidden in the first commandment? The first commandment forbid it, the denying or not worshiping and glorifying the true God as God and our God, and the giving of that worship and glory to any other, which is due to him alone.